Welcome everybody to the CFO Story. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Sam Abood. With us is our co-host, Jason Lee.
Glad to be here today, man.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us today. We have a guest, Jeff Dupree. He's going to be on the show with us. Jeff, we're excited to have you.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you for spending part of your Friday with us. Jeff, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and just kind of tell us a little bit about your story and kind of what brought you to what you're doing right now. And let us hear a little bit about your background.
Yeah, sure. So I started out as a financial advisor right out of school, selling like term life insurance and investments to like young people with families. Mm-hmm. I did that for about 5 years, and I kind of have an introverted personality. So after 5 years, I kind of ran out of people to talk to and decided, hey, maybe this isn't the career for me. So at that point, I went back to school, got an MBA, and all of my jobs since then have been kind of accounting and finance related. So I went back and got an MBA, and I worked for several years. And then here recently, I just completed my CPA license back in June of last year. So it's been quite a journey at the ripe age of 43.
Quite an accomplishment. Thanks for sharing that. That's really neat. That my story is a little bit of the reverse order of that. So I thought that was really cool. Jeff, you and I had lunch a while back, and so thanks for sharing a little bit more about that. So where are you with today? And I think you shared a little bit of this with me when we met before. Some of the things that are important to you in your role right now. You talked about building a team. You talked about the culture being very critical for you and for what you do. And then also some things about succession. Expand on that a little bit and talk through those things with us. And why are those things important to you? And what are you seeing in those areas?
I think they're important to me because we spend so much time at work. So you have to enjoy the people that you work with. And part of that is kind of building and constructing a good team. One of the things that I look for is people that are different from me and hopefully people whose strengths complement my weaknesses. I tend to get bogged down in projects. I tend to be introverted to begin with. So, that can leave my staff, that could leave me feeling a little disconnected from my staff at times. So to kind of combat that, I have an HR director that's she's amazingly extroverted. She does trivia games. She does team building exercises. Yesterday, they had a snow cone truck come out to the office and give everybody snow cones. Awesome. So she compensates, in areas that maybe are my weaknesses. So I think it's important to look for people that are different than you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing.
Quick question. When you say look for, because you're working for an organization as a CFO, do you guys have something in place as when you look at your org chart or they're bringing somebody on board? I know there's typically behavioral based questions and things that people will ask, but when they're trying to look at the team fit, right, they're looking at the executive level. How do they know, I'm going to match this HR person because we need somebody to kind of offset Jeff's personality or vice versa? Do you guys use any testing tools, anything to really help define that?
You guys need to bring in my HR director for an interview because she takes care of all of those kind of things.
Cool. Good. So y'all do have a process.
We do have tests. That's awesome. Behavioral tests and things.
Okay, cool. Great. Cool.
That's neat. Not everyone does that, So right. I think that's cool. Talk about culture a little bit and what that means to you.
As far as culture goes, I think it's important to just encourage teamwork. Some of the things that we do to make sure we have a good, strong team, we have typical weekly update meetings to talk about work issues, but I think equally important, we try to find time to do activities just to get to know each other. Finding time like doing the goofy snow cone thing yesterday, just activities kind of to get to know each other and each other's interests outside of work.
So it's important. Those are the things, I guess, that some people may view those as, as a distraction or it takes up time. When we could be working, right? So sounds like the culture there that you're referring to is it become appreciated around the office and starting to become more anticipated? Do y'all do things regularly like that? That's as often as you can, rather, right?
We do. We have a weekly team meeting where we do a Kahoot trivia game. I think some people that are like myself that are maybe a little more old fashioned Might have found it a little goofy at first, but we've heard a lot of feedback from the other employees, and I even enjoy it. I mean, who doesn't like to win a trivia game? You know,
right.
We have a lot of people doing it now, so I think I win about every 4 months or so.
There you go.
Nice.
Starting to build up your record there, huh? Very cool. Thanks for that, Jeff. Succession, you listed as one of the things that is critical. Describe that, and what do you mean by succession? That can mean a lot of different things. What is it for you?
I think it's just leaving a stronger organization whenever you're not there. Or maybe it's not even when you leave, but it's when you move into a different position.
Okay.
So one of the things that that I have found that works over the years is just looking for the opportunity to promote people from within. They might not always have the exact qualifications you're looking for or the number of years of experience, but usually they make up for that in just appreciation for being considered for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And also, if they've been at the organization for a few years, they know a lot about the company and how the company works. So it really tends to shorten the learning curve.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I think there's something to be said for loyalty to your employees, you know, especially in a culture where, everybody thinks that you can always upgrade talent because we have such an excessive talent pool out there where people can go out and find people. I've been part of organizations or seen organizations where they're constantly going and nabbing people from the outside, mm-hmm. but then that creates a culture on the inside of, well, then why am I here?
It does.
Right. So if you can really find that person and just say, hey, maybe you're not ready, but we'll get you there. But you're our values, you tie into our culture, mm-hmm. you're a great fit. And man, that guy, that's that person that's going to, stay and put in those extra 2 hours or do that extra work, not because they feel obligated, but because they want to, because they feel like, hey, you know what, my company cares. Right. And if you show that you care, then they ultimately come back and
absolutely.
Do the work for you. I love it.
So, Jeff, you and I have one thing in common, actually a couple of things. But, you're a CFO. I've been a CFO. Technology, to me, and I'd love to hear from you. To me, so much of our roles as CFOs is pivotal, around information, gathering information, data, knowledge, and then what to do with it and how to view it, right? So what about technology in this realm? Do you see that as being kind of a make or break with an organization? Take, for example, where you are. Talk about technology and kind of in your role and how that ties in what you see there.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more important. It's becoming more important to our customers and our suppliers and how we interact with them. I think the big buzzword the last 10 years has been digital transformation.
Okay.
And that's a million-dollar word right there. But to me, it just means being able to capture and summarize information efficiently so that you can make good decisions for your organization. At Sentinel, we haven't gone out and hired a consulting group and spent a lot of money, but we've done a few very practical things over the last 6 years mm-hmm. that I would put in the digital transformation category. 6 years ago, people were still filling out paper timesheets and handing them in to their supervisor. And then everything was scanned in to a scanner. And then it had to be manually keyed in by payroll clerks.
Wow.
Well, that's just not very sustainable. It's not very scalable. So, now we have a cloud-based payroll system where employees put their time in on their phones. We have a payroll department of one, and that person has one, we have a backup person in case mm-hmm. that person needs to be out on, vacation or leave. Another practical thing that we've done, in terms of digital transformation is our billing department. We're almost entirely paperless. A lot of our billing is done exclusively within the customer's billing portal. 6 years ago, we were taking those same timesheets, we were taking receipts, we were scanning everything and building these packages and, wasting a ton of printer ink, a ton of paper. And now all of that's, it's all digital, it's all faster. And we have the roughly the same amount of staff that we had 6 years ago, and the company's doubled its revenue.
Wow. And 6 years ago is not that long ago to
no.
be doing that. Yeah, it's coming a long way. And now that you've got that technology more at your fingertips, you've got your capacity for dashboarding and KPIs are, they're a lot more visible, quicker, and for more people. Yeah. I mean, would you agree that that's kind of part of that transformation as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Making that data visible.
We had the same scenario with all of our safety reporting. You know, we have very stringent safety reporting requirements from our clients. It was a very manual process, you know, 6-7 years ago. Now we built our own tool where we capture KPIs, it's a great deliverable to our customer. We're able to tell our customer, hey, we did this number of inspections. These are the kinds of inspections we did. This is our safety record and incident record tied to all of these types of activities we've been doing. And it's all at our fingertips.
Yeah, that's great. It's that makes your extra time now more valuable, right?
Talk to me about the due diligence process when it comes to choosing technology, because mm-hmm. I know for a CFO, there's so many options out there. There's people out trying to sell you guys the newest, greatest thing all the time. So how did you go about the due diligence process of picking the right tools for the right cost that we're going to get the job done?
Yeah, it can be a bit overwhelming. There's a lot of providers out there. Everybody has a tool that they want to sell you. I think the best advice I can give is maybe to find a third party company that reviews the software that you're looking for and stick to that kind of upper right quartile. You know, try to pick three or four providers from that quartile and go from there. And one of the things that I have found particularly useful in kind of conducting these due diligence processes is asking for lots of references from these service providers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not just the manufacturer. Sometimes maybe there's a channel partner or an integration group that you go through. So getting references not only on the software, but also on the, you know, the integration group. And it's kind of interesting because sometimes you'll find if they supply three or four references, not all of the references will tell you that it's like the most amazing software ever. Sometimes they'll be very candid and tell you, hey, it took us two or three times longer than we expected. It cost us twice as much. So it's not always, you know, rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, man, it's very practical. This is this is the type of information, Jeff, and thank you, that we really hope to share, you know, on this podcast. And so very practical stuff. Yeah, that's one of the hats you got to wear, right? I know you and I talked about the many hats that you have to wear as a CFO. So that's kind of the down and dirty practical stuff that people kind of maybe take to you and say, hey, help us with this process. But it's important, right? It's critical.
Right.
Check your references, right? Know what you're getting into, right? Okay, thank you, Jeff. I think this is going to be a good time for us to pivot and really get into some of the other factors that some people might consider the intangibles, but we, Jason and I feel, and we see it in our business too, they're extremely important. Jason, you want to touch on some of those with Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, obviously you've had some success, right? And one thing that really stands out to me is you said it on multiple fronts, you're self-aware, right? You know, hey, this is how I am. This is how I'm wired. It started even getting out of college, spending 5 years as financial advisor going, no, I need to go this route, right? I am curious, before we dive in too much, why the CPA? Because I'm just interested. Is that just because you're curious, or what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, so I spent most of my career in accounting and finance. And what I found several years into it, when I was trying to interview for these controller roles, I was competing for CPAs. Even though I have no interest in, you know, doing a tax practice or preparing returns or anything like that. So I just found that in order to open more doors and get the kind of job that I wanted, that it was helpful to have.
So Jeff, you've had some success. You've held some roles. You've obviously shown a commitment to consistent growth, but talk to us about some of the things that you would say have contributed to your success.
I think it's just persistence, or just being, you know, stubborn. I don't give up on things. I waited several years, after I got my MBA to go back and get my CPA license. And it was a long process. I had to take about 8 courses at a community college just to be eligible to take the exams. I mentioned I finally got my license last year, and I've been the CFO at Sentinel for about 6 years now. I almost stopped studying for the CPA license because I didn't know if it would really add a lot of value at this point in my career. But the main reason that I finished was really just to teach my kids to finish the race, and that, you know, if you start something, finish it. And I think the ability to keep grinding and learning new things has been one of the most important factors.
Fantastic. Great story. I love it. And I think that's a great mission for your kids. And then growth, like this growth mindset. I mean, you know, in order to be in leadership, talk to us about some of the other things that you've experienced. Because not all CFOs, there's not like leadership training that comes with that deal. But to be very candid, a lot of them have an accounting and mind. So those are two different types of folks, right? Because the guys who are CEOs are oftentimes the guys who are naturally wired to do that. And there's a reason why they're not trying to be CFOs. But still, you got thrust into leadership, right? So you have a team and now you're having to lead folks. Talk to us about some of the skills that you've kind of developed for that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, whether you like it or not, when you have, you're responsible for that many functions within the company and you have that many people that report to you, they expect leadership. And so I think it's important for them to see you celebrate your wins and acknowledge your failures and just be a real person. And kind of going back to, you know, maybe some of the key factors that have helped me along the way. One of them is curiosity, just not being afraid to ask what you feel is a stupid question. I mean, I love to understand how things work together so that I can understand the bigger picture. And I like getting to work with, you know, operations within the company and understand more about the company and the services that we provide. And I think that that curiosity has kind of helped me deal with the breadth of responsibilities of being a CFO.
Awesome. Fantastic. That's a great wisdom. And you know, we had another person on the podcast and it seems to be one common theme is not being afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I think in leadership, especially as we step into leadership roles, for those that are on this call, sometimes people feel the pressure of their position and then think, oh, I have to know it all, right? Which can be one of the biggest detriments to your leadership if you're hiding behind without and not knowing the answers, because eventually you get found out.
Absolutely.
Right? Someone's going to catch you and that. Yeah. It's much easier to be transparent and say, hey, need a little help here. You know, how do I guide that? Now, let me ask you this, though. There's probably some times when you don't know where to go, maybe within the organization. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you're looking around? Because as a CFO, there's stuff that probably lands on your desk that there's not anybody in the organization that can help you.
Right.
What do you do then?
I think that's kind of the importance of having like a network of professionals that are experts in their area. I mean, you can't be an expert in everything. And so being able to call on, you know, former coworkers or bosses or, you know, everybody kind of needs to know a good insurance agent, a good lawyer, a good banker. It's paramount because you can't cover all of those areas.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love it.
And I think, you know, the mark of a true leader, Jeff, and what I'm hearing is, you know, it's just that being able to recognize where, you know, your strengths are, but also for your team in particular to see, you might not have all the answers, but you have resources. And let's make the best use of our time and collectively, and let's get there together. Right. That's awesome. That's powerful.
So Jeff, let me back up. I absolutely want to shamelessly plug, our show and what we're trying to build here for based on what you just said, because of the question of saying, you said bankers, all this, you know, have a network of peers, but again, vision, right? If we cross vision for the CFO story, and our goal here is we're not only to help share the stories of CFOs like yourself, but also for that, you know, my vision would be that, you know, 52 weeks from now, we've had 52 episodes and I have 52 CFOs who can see the other CFOs on those shows and go, hey, maybe that I should reach out to that CFO.
Yeah, I love that.
Or, hey, maybe we should pull this a CFO luncheon together and get all you guys in the same room, let you exchange information and data and maybe even start bringing some speakers in or do things like that. So again, as I'm casting vision for what you just said, because it's also hard to go out and build those relationships because you're buried in the trenches. Like you just can't get out and just say, okay, I guess I'm going to sneak off at lunch today and go network. Like that's just not part of the day, right? Like, I mean, you wake up every day and there's probably, can't even imagine what your inbox looks like. Maybe a little crowded.
It's a few hundred emails a day, wow. Probably 300 if I had to guess. Wow.
Jeez Louise, that's crazy. So, so the last person on our show said 250, you beat her by 50. So no competition, yeah. Whatever, but yeah. I'm going to make sure I text her and be like, hey, just so you know.
I think that makes me the loser.
The dude they have.
There might be a bigger loser later. Okay, though. Yeah, exactly. Know.
We'll find out. That's going to be our new thing. So we're gonna benchmark everybody based on emails when they come in. So I'm going to ask CFOs. So how many emails are you going to
get? Yeah, there you go.
I'm down to 100.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, you're the champ.
That's sure.
But I think it is paramount. This is one reason we want to do this is to collect those resources for the CFOs out there. We're super pumped about that. So, and that's one thing you and I discussed, Jeff, that it sounded very appealing to you. And so I was very glad to hear that's part of our focus for sure.
And then as we get geared up to wrap up, one thing we always like to do is maybe impart some words of wisdom to somebody who's listened to this show and maybe just trying to figure it out. Maybe they're a new controller or CFO, or maybe they want to become a CFO, or, you know, they're just trying to craft a vision for where they want to go. So to that new young blood who's trying to come up in the industry, what would you impart on them as far as wisdom?
Yeah, I got a couple of things.
Fantastic.
I would just say, you know, learning is a lifelong journey. You have never arrived. And I always like to say that when you stop listening, you stop learning. Mm-hmm. I also used to have a boss that would say, don't sweat the small stuff, but the devil is in the details. And I always found that really confusing. I was kind of like, well, I don't understand. Am I supposed to worry about the details or am I not supposed to worry about it? But I think years later, I think kind of what I take from that is you have to be able to figure out what's important and when you need to dive into the details. And then the last thing I would say is just what we've already talked about. Make sure you're aligning yourself with trusted professionals to help you in the areas that you need help in.
Awesome. Great insight.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Jeff, you've got some people that I think you'd like to recognize for their contribution to your personal development. I know you've listed a few. Talk about those for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to go out with a bang with a huge question for you here to wrap up the podcast. So talk about who's contributed to your personal development.
Great. Yeah, I'd love to give some shout outs.
There
so
you go.
Let me shout out first to my family. They put up with several years of me working late and going to take classes at night and studying at Starbucks on the weekends. And my kids were great. They were really young and they never gave me a hard time about missing activities. And now that I'm kind of finished with all of the classes and the CPA license, you know, I get to enjoy my son's soccer games and my daughter plays tennis with me. So my family first and foremost. And then I've had several good bosses. I'll mention them kind of quickly. Matt Hagelston, he was a great team builder, teacher, mentor. I got a lot of Excel skills from Matt.
Ah, very nice.
John Cassio encouraged me to pursue my CPA. He was a competitive cyclist, so I think kind of endurance was built into his blood. And so he just always encouraged me to keep going, keep pushing, keep grinding. And then last but not least, Stephen Amante, who was John's boss. So he was the boss of my boss. He just showed us both that you can be at the top and still be a nice person.
Wow, man.
Awesome.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing all that. It seems like everyone there has really been impactful for you. And I appreciate the family being first in your list. That's great. That's awesome. So good stuff here, Jeff. One very important question, I think, to wrap this thing up. MJ or LeBron?
MJ all the way.
Hey, here we go.
So I don't think we're going to get any LeBrons. I don't know if it's possible. Maybe if we get some, like,
get a really young 30, one.
I think 30 year olds on the show, but it's going to have to be
a generational thing.
It's got to be a generational thing. And I still think that's still going to be tough to do.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
I like LeBron. He's a good dude, but I mean, MJ is.
It's hard to beat.
It's MJ.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good question.
That's our era. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeff, for joining us today. Really enjoyed your insight. Just kind of your words of wisdom and your experience. Thanks for sharing where you've been. It's been a pleasure, and we thank you all for tuning in, and stay tuned for the next one.